Those damn Ghibellines take over again. We need to appreciate that sort of atmosphere in which Dante would have grown up in the aftermath of this Ghibelline rule of 6 years following the Battle of Monteperti. And as I said, ultimately, the Ghibellines were sort of a permanent minority in Florence. However, as I suggested toward the beginning of this lecture, what happens is, as the Guelphs get pretty much total control in the 1280s and the 1290s in Florence, they began to struggle and fight with one another. And this came to a head, as I suggested, in 1300 and 1301. And this is what happens. Again, both parties are fairly equal in power. And so what they do is try to get the balance to swing on their side by applying to the papacy, to Pope Boniface VIII, who was the chief political figure as well as ecclesiastical figure in Italy at that time. Both parties wanted the Pope to back them. And we know what the winning argument was. The winning argument, how the black Guelphs convinced the Pope to support them, was those damned white Guelphs, they're all sort of, you know, crypto Ghibellines. If you let them get control of Florence, they will be in opposition to you. Before you know it, those damn German emperors will be back. It's for your own sake. We're really Guelphs. They're sort of pseudo Guelphs and closet Ghibellines. And it worked. Boniface sent in troops, and the whites were exiled, and Dante's exile began. And therefore, we need to see that there were two major factional rounds in Dante's life that really shaped his life politically and obviously also shaped his place of residence for the last 20 years. The Guelph-Ghibelline struggle, which was the struggle of his parents' time and his youth, and then the white-black Guelph struggle, which was the struggle of his adulthood. And clearly, when he talks about politics in any way, these experiences, some he heard about from family, some he experienced directly, and of course lost his city for, really color everything he says about politics.
Yeah. Now, there are a couple of ways to think about this in terms of the actual texture of the poem itself. Most obvious is that a great many of these incidents and episodes find their way into the poem. He talks about the Battle of Monteperti. His exile will be predicted many, many times in the course of the Commedia, with increasing complexity and increasing ramifications. Simply, the poem has in it references to so many of these events that it would be hard to fully understand without a knowledge of them. But also, these events provided Dante with a kind of object of meditation, if you will, when he was in exile. Essentially, the question Dante asks is, isn't there another way, or can't there be another way? In other words, in the beginning, if Dante is sort of looking at these events, he's in exile, and what he wants to do is get back, life would be a lot better if we whites came in and took over again and got rid of the blacks, done to them what they'd done to us. But the more he thinks about it, the more he realizes that it's the factionalism itself which is the problem, not whether one is supporting the blacks or whether one is supporting the whites. So slowly and carefully, in the course of his meditation about this, he comes to realize that there has to be an impulse toward unity, toward seeing what is wider and more comprehensive than simply one's party, and seeing party strife as the non-answer to the situation becomes one of the most important political positions that Dante takes, and that emerges very, very slowly in the course of the Commedia. Okay, that this is a position that gradually comes to the fore as we begin to see the folly of these partisan squabbles, as we begin to see that ultimately all they lead to is bloodshed and strife and self-perpetuation.
To put it in another way, there were clearly many years, even after Dante's exile, when he saw the victory of the white Guelphs, the victory of his own party, as the solution to the problem. Only gradually did he begin to realize that whether it's whites or blacks, that he's part of the problem rather than part of the solution, as he supports his own party. And to get beyond that is an extraordinarily difficult leap, a leap obviously very few people in Dante's time made. And as Ron suggested, it was slow, it was partial for a while, it was no doubt painful. After all, those ties of party were important in a lot of ways. They provided you with your family, your social life, and a lot of other things. And to accept the fact that faction itself was a bad thing, that party strife itself was a bad thing, rather than good guys and bad guys, depending on which color badge you wore, was an extraordinary struggle, and one that we see emerging as we meet the Dante in the dark wood of error at the beginning of Inferno, and growing toward the ultimate symbol of unity, which is, of course, at the very end of the Paradiso, when he sees God as both three and one, when he envisions fully the Trinity and the nature of unity within the diversity of the persons of the Trinity.
Yeah, perhaps one way of putting this in perspective, T.S. Eliot, who was one of the most important 20th century critics and commentators on Dante, said once in a lecture that Dante is, of course, one of the most universal of poets, but then, in the second part of the sentence, that Dante is also the most local of poets, that he does not cease to be local because he's universal, and that, in fact, we can't get to that universality unless we start with the local. And in a way, I think what we've been suggesting here is that this is some of the local stuff that you need to begin thinking about the poem, ultimately to think about it in terms of its universal dimensions. But that's a leap that we can't take too quickly, and that we're suggesting that gradually we're going to come to see what the larger and universal concerns are.
So while now we've talked about biography and primarily politics, when we take up next time, what we'll be talking about is sort of the intellectual antecedents of the poem, in particular, some of the books that Dante read that were the most important in shaping his final vision of reality.